no offense to the front row, but I am farsighted. I get cross-eyed when I'm standing right next to somebody. Plus, I always feel like I'm yelling at the ones in front of me. That's one of the things. Whenever I do a wedding, I always feel like the ones that are standing in front of me are getting screamed at, and they probably feel the same way. Wonderful to see everybody today. Isn't it nice to come together? We've had about 2 years of drought. It's always still wonderful to be together, but after about 3 weeks of rain, it's really fun to get together and worship the Lord. And so we have been blessed, and we were blessed before that certainly. But what beauty we have enjoyed these last few weeks. Appreciated the song service, Macy. You picked out good ones, or Emily, whichever. Well, it wasn't Emily. Emily, I was thinking of Ellie, and I cannot have two people with similar names. But good song service. Appreciate it both this morning and this evening. Appreciated the prayer to start off this evening as well. We looked this morning at the idea, the question, can we go too far and still be saved? And the conclusion that we find from the scriptures is that while we can, as long as we're willing to repent, we've not gone too far. It does not appear. There can come a point where our heart becomes hardened to where we will not repent. And it is the repentance that is required in order to allow God to forgive us. So from that perspective, when our heart becomes hard and we will not repent, then certainly we can go too far and no longer be saved. The point that I think is so important is if we ever wonder, is it okay for me to be coming back? You haven't gone too far. There is a heart within you that is repenting. And so as long as you have that within you, I think you can be assured that you haven't. The caution for us is that we do not get so far away and so callous in our heart that we will not come back. And we see that every once in a while. From a physical standpoint, it is certain that we can go too far and have to suffer the physical penalty. Take somebody who gets drunk, who gets in a car, who gets in a wreck, who loses a leg, it's too late for that leg. They can never get that leg back, though they can maybe get a substitute for it. It's too late from a physical perspective. But from a spiritual perspective, we can always repent. We can always come back to God as long as it's in our heart to do so. And so this evening, we want to continue with this idea and talk about what can cause us to become hardened in heart. Tim brought up this morning that I believe Max had pointed out to him about a recent board meeting in Canyon. And I got online and watched that board meeting this afternoon. It was, I believe, the May 8th board meeting, and it is. They do record all these things. And apparently what had happened, while I did not see the initial statements of one of the board members, they had, within a worship service, agreed with God that homosexuality was a sin. This somehow got on the national news, apparently, because it was such a large religious group that he said that in. And when it got on the national news, they pointed out that he was a member of the Canyon Independent School District Board. And this offended the Canyon Independent School District Board, not the idea that they would somehow come against God's principles, but that somebody would dare to speak on God's principles when it was not politically correct to do so. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. As we read this, understand this is God's judgment. Also understand that we don't isolate one sin over another, but we cannot fail to agree with God when it comes to what He has said is sinful and will separate us from Him. The moment we do that, the moment we become so magnanimous as to say, I think it's all right, essentially what we do is we sit in judgment of God's determination, His decisions. And the idea of sitting in judgment of God is always a bad idea. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Think intellectuals and some of the things that different people do in the name of intellect. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, here is what we want to be very clear on. Everything on this list is sin. Everything on this list will separate you from God, will pull you out of your covenant relationship with God should you get involved with it to the point where you will not repent. This includes things like gossip, being arrogant and boastful, things that maybe we think are maybe a lesser sin. And while these sins may have lesser physical consequence than something along the lines of murder, or malice, they still will separate us from God. And so there is nothing on this list that we want to depreciate in any way. But what we want to point out is everything on this list is wrong. And we live in an era right now where even people who fancy themselves as followers of God are saying that homosexuality is right. In Isaiah 5, verse 18, it says, "Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit." Verse 20 of Isaiah 5, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." People have begun to sit in judgment of God. And when God says, "This is sin," they say, "No, it's not." As a matter of fact, they will say, not only is it not sin, but anybody who says that it's wrong is sinful themselves and is worthy or no longer worthy of being in our presence. The board in Canyon, Texas, in the heart of what used to be the Bible Belt or what people talked about being the Bible Belt at one time, the board voted for this man to resign. They demanded his resignation. I don't think he gave it. Had a little courage, didn't he? On two instances. One, he confessed that sin was sin. The second part was that he wouldn't back down from that. There was something to him. As far as this sin of homosexuality goes, whether it's a sin or not, look at the language that Paul, through inspiration, uses to describe this. Look at the phrases and the words. Shameful lusts, unnatural relations, inflamed with lust, indecent acts with other men, perversion, And then it says, since they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Some of your versions will say a reprobate mind. Reprobate, the Greek for that is rejected. It was often used in association with metals. Whether a precious metal was not pure enough to be used, or whether a metal such as iron did not have the strength to be considered worthy of using in something as that they were building, it was called reprobate. It was this Greek word that they used. It was rejected because it was of inferior material. When God said he'll give us over to depraved minds if we reject what he calls sin, he's serious about it. And we're living in a time of depravity. And I think it shocks us. We try and find explanations for why people are depraved. Depravity, one of the things he talks about in verse 31 is they're senseless. Part of being depraved is not having any sense. They've abandoned common sense. If you try to figure out why somebody is doing something that is so patently wicked, you're wasting your time. They're depraved. There is not a good explanation for it other than the idea, the understanding that God at some point will just let you go. And that's what's happening in our society today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Have you ever been so frustrated with something somebody is doing that you say, I'm not putting up with this anymore? Now, think about that attitude and then place it in relationship to God's teaching. What happens within the mind of somebody that becomes so arrogant that they would look at God's judgments and say, I'm not putting up with that anymore? Can you imagine what the judgment day will be like for somebody like that? Again, verse 3, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We're seeing that right now. And here maybe is one of the points that we do not want to lose tonight. When someone is involved with sin, it should not make us hate them. When we talk about having love for one another, loving our neighbor as ourselves, we're talking about having enough compassion for them to stop them from a reckless path. I always think of a 2-year-old near an interstate and how 2-year-olds, everything about them wants to get out where the action is. They want to get in the traffic, don't they? Would you be considered a bad parent if you didn't let your 2-year-old go and play in the interstate? The answer is no. Would you not love them if you wouldn't let them play in the interstate? And the answer is no. It's because you do love them that you don't want them taking part in this deadly behavior. When we talk about what God has deemed as sin, as perversion, as shameful, we are not talking about these things because they've made God mad and therefore he has deemed everything they do as sin. He still loved them enough to allow Jesus to die for them. We ought to love people enough to be able to say, look, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. And it doesn't matter how much you stand up and scream. It doesn't matter how many votes that you get in agreement that right is wrong. It does not change what God has firmly commanded, what God has determined. He is the standard. One of the reasons that we spend so much time encouraging one another to read the Word is because we have a standard. The world has a standard that is continually changing. When I was born, it was against the law to commit homosexual acts. You could go to prison for doing that. And then it became just bad behavior. And then it became, well, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to judge. They're mentally ill. And then it was, well, they're not actually mentally ill. This is normal. Leave them alone. And they said, we just want to be left alone. And then they demanded very vocally, I want you to approve of what I'm doing, and I don't want you to say it's wrong. And here's what I think has happened. Because servants of the Lord stopped loving Him and His Word as much as they didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings, they just became silent on sin. And it had the exact same effect as allowing your 2-year-old who just kept on whining and pulling away of letting them go ahead and play on the interstate because it was just easier not to put up with it. But you know, if you did that with a 2-year-old and it was found out and they got hurt, you'd go to prison. You ought to go to prison. What do you think God is going to say to those who look at something they know to be sin, but they declare it to be righteous? Again, Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. God is the judge of good and evil, not men. We need to be compassionate for one another, just as we're compassionate with our 2-year-olds. We don't let them go because we love them, not because we hate them. We don't call right wrong and wrong right just because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Joshua chapter 24. This is the end of Joshua's life, and what we want to get from this is there is going to come a time where we have to choose between right and wrong. And Joshua tells the people that he's been leading now for a number of years that very thing. Joshua 24 verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to choose. And we cannot put up with seemingly reasonable men standing up and saying that wrong is right, no matter how many followers they have. Let me come back to this instance that happened in Canyon. The board president let the person know who had taken a stand against sin that he had no integrity, that he had violated their code of ethics. Now, that was an absolute ignorance of their code of ethics, because I can assure you when the Canyon Independent School District came up with their code of ethics years ago, they had a good idea that sin was still sin. Man's opinions may have changed, but God's knowledge and what He has said has not. And then he said this, and this is one of the points that I think is very important. We can disagree religiously with what the Bible says when it comes to disputable matters. As a matter of fact, when it comes to disputable matters, we are cautioned just to keep our opinions to ourselves. But when God has spoken on something, when God has said this is sin, when God has said this will cause you to be judged, there's no dispute in this. And when somebody gets up and says that wrong is right and right is wrong, and they do so in a public forum, they have to be held accountable. Are they doing it in ignorance? I think they are. But here's what this president of the school board said. He said, I have wrestled with this. I have prayed about this. I have studied about this. And I have come to the conclusion that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, the greatest commandment, which, of course, it's the second greatest commandment. He did that little study, didn't even know what he was talking about. But here's what else he did. He disputed with God and he did not put up with sound doctrine. He told a lie in public, even though I'm confident he did not intentionally lie. It was still a lie. And it's these types of things that will cause people to be separated from God. If I get up and I preach to you a lie and somebody accepts it, I may be judged for that, but you will be too. It will do you absolutely no good to go up before God on Judgment Day and say, well, this is what Rick said, only to find out something along the lines of, well, you are going to have to join Rick because he didn't make it either. My standard was to obey my word, not the opinions of men, no matter how forceful those opinions or how intelligent those opinions or how popular those opinions may have been. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said this, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? People are seeing through a warped lens right now. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. When we are lukewarm, when we cannot take a stand for God, or we take a stand for God here and we take a stand for Satan here, it is so distasteful to Christ that he's going to spit us out of his mouth. That's a powerful statement. And then look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What I'm doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they're boasting. He's talking about false teachers. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, and look at this, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. There will be people who quote the scripture in an improper way. Satan was really good at that. If you'll recall the temptation of Christ, Satan quoted scripture. He quoted the scripture accurately as far as what it said. But he also quoted it in a way as to try and contradict the meaning of what God had. He was using it to try to get Christ to accept sin. And it didn't work because Christ knew what was written. Do we? Or do we allow somebody to use a scripture and say, well, it does say that. It says to love your neighbor, not realizing at all that loving your neighbor goes along with loving God. And loving God means we'll find out what he says and we'll be obedient to it. And then we'll love our neighbor enough, even when they don't want to hear the news, to tell them the truth in love. Imagine a doctor who had done the test, found out that you had cancer, and knew that you were not going to like the results, knew that you didn't want to hear the diagnosis. And so he just said to you, you're fine. There's nothing wrong at all with you. Would that change the cancer that was growing in your body? And now imagine a person taking scripture and misusing it and saying, your sin is fine. As a matter of fact, it is noble and it is good. You just keep on going, and anyone that says that this is sin, well, they don't love like God wants them to love. There's going to be some hard things. We're seeing more and more difficult situations right now. We're seeing opposition to God's way and God's word in ways that I've never seen in my lifetime. The question is, are we going to stand? Are we going to study enough to know what we're standing for? Are we going to love our neighbor enough to be able to see that they're in peril and warn them they're in peril? Or are we going to say, nothing wrong here, you're okay? Let me finish this verse. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, 1 Corinthians 2:13, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. We have such a privilege to be servants of God. We have such a privilege to be adopted sons and daughters of God. But with that privilege and with the hope, the assurance that we'll be saved if we'll just be faithful to Him, comes great responsibility. And sometimes responsibility is hard. May I encourage each one of you to dig into God's Word, to find out what He says about right and wrong, to love Him enough to respect Him as the final authority, but also to love your neighbor enough to, when you have something they don't want to hear, to still be able to speak the truth in love without shame or apology or wavering. We're going to heaven if we'll remain faithful. We couldn't bear it if we deceived somebody into thinking they were okay when they weren't okay. But it is going to require that we start taking some difficult stands. I admire men such as the one that took that stand. We need to stand beside him. It needs to be in the right way. The invitation's open. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.